It's time for Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Have you ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Every week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. Guests will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Every show is a dose of inspiration. This is Success Profiles Radio. And now, here's your host, Brian K. Wright.
Hello and welcome to Success Profiles Radio. I'm your host, Brian K. Wright. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you today. I'm honored that you chose to spend part of your day with me here, and this is going to be a fantastic and amazing show. I'll be introducing my guest shortly, and I promise we're going to have fun today, and we're going to learn a lot along the way as well. I do want to take a minute or two to share some things I've been learning and thinking about lately, and I usually do this every single week. I recently released a book called The Greatest Lessons I Learned from My Coach. And in one of the chapters, I discussed reasons why you need to hire a coach. Number one, a great coach is someone who can help you because they have been where you want to go. This means that they know what obstacles may be standing in your way that you didn't even think of. This will shorten your learning curve immensely. Number two, a great coach will keep you accountable to your goals. They will encourage you, and they will tell you what you are doing well, and they will also call you out when you fall short. We all need tough love, and it's in the spirit of helping you get to where you want to go. And finally, having a great coach helps you become a good coach. In my experience, the best coaches are also coachable. That's a very important quality of a successful person. So if you are not working with a coach, I encourage you to do so as soon as possible. And if you have ever thought about writing a book, I coach people through that process as well, and I will even do it for you if you want me to. You can email me, brian@briankwright.com, or even better yet, get on my calendar, callwithbrian.com. With all of this in mind, I want to introduce my guest, and his name is Lawrence Tyson. Let me tell you about him. Lawrence Tyson is a Gen Z entrepreneur with a computer science background. He started his online career at 14, and he rapidly gained millions of views. He's the founder and CEO of BreathPage, and he's applied his technical expertise and entrepreneurial spirit across more than 10 industries, including SaaS, Web3, and real estate. He excels in driving businesses toward achieving strategic power and influence by employing targeted exposure, securing placements in influential publications, and crafting elite positioning strategies to ensure significant business impact. He is the head of fulfillment at Influencer Press, and his team helps his clients leverage their pre-influence, which culminates from a blend of science, marketing, sales, and PR. We have so much to unwrap and unravel today. So here we are with my very special guest, Lawrence Tyson. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I am doing absolutely amazing. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, you're very welcome. So the first question I usually ask is, did you envision early on that you would be where you are right now?
That's an excellent question. For me, the answer is both a yes and a no. If I look back quite some years ago, let's say 5 years ago, I wouldn't really have any clarity about where I wanted to go or where I would go. However, as time progressed, I definitely would have more of a clear vision. So for the past 3 years, I have absolutely more clarity about where I wanted to go. And I did visualize where I wanted to be. However, it's a journey that just, you know, is full of surprises. So it's both a yes of direction for the clarity I have, as well as all the surprises and the unexpected journey that develops as I go.
That is absolutely fantastic. So tell us what your path looked like to prior to what you're doing right now. I alluded to some of that. You started your first digital online business when you were 14?
Correct. So perhaps a business itself wasn't the right term. But when I was younger, I was very active online. At the age of around 13 or 14, I played a lot of video games and I was very active in the online space. And one of the first things I did was start a YouTube channel. Now, in the course of about 3 years, I created various YouTube channels, and I created YouTube channels where I played video games, very unprofessional kind of footage. I pretty much did a lot of testing, and eventually it led me towards making my first payment online. So one of the channels I had this idea in mind that if I create a YouTube channel where I store sound effects and pretty much like editing screens people can use, I could create some sort of a hub online where people can come in and download free stuff. Now, that was my vision back then because I was editing my own videos and I just couldn't find anything else, which, you know, I always had to find my resources. So I created my own platform. And at the time, it was a great idea. I reached millions of views with that. I've got, I would say, around $1,000 to $2,000 earned by that. And in 2015, I received my actual first payment of that. I was around 14 years old. So that was pretty much the first business engagement I had online.
Wow. So you had 18 million views online. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, if I look at all the socials I have, it's definitely more by now. But with that YouTube channel alone, I only had about 16 to 18 million views already.
That is fantastic. So are there any big secrets to getting that much viewership?
That's a great question. And it definitely depends on how you actually structure that. If I were to create videos right now or do something completely new, reaching X amount of million views is a super high number, right? If you, for example, are a content creator itself or you're a business person who creates content, reaching millions of views is a major milestone. For me, back in the days, I just did it without really thinking about it that much. And it just pretty much accidentally almost happened. What I would say is the secret behind it is that the videos I provided, the value I gave, was something evergreen. It was somebody thousands of people could actually use. And the views I collected were completely organic. There was no promo behind it. There was no social media behind it. It was pure organic by people actually searching for it. So I will say the secret, let's say, behind it is providing what people can use.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what do you think is your big mission in business, the way you see it?
That is a super great question. I would say it's either the answer I could give for specifically what I think I'm the best at myself or how I can steer companies, you know, in the new direction. For me, I found that one of the biggest things is being able to identify the real situation, look at a company, look at a business, and actually bring in what has to be done. Meaning that it's very easy to get overlooked by, okay, we need to do this for marketing or we need to do this for sales or we're working on the customer support. And what I noticed by helping various industries and by being, you know, employed by different companies is that oftentimes there's just this lack of absolute clarity. What has to be done? What are we doing? And what is the next steps? And I found one of the greatest powers from my end is being able to take that reality and just wherever I am, say, hey, this is what we need to do. And this is the next steps. And in a business position where I excel the most in, it's where I can actually say, okay, this is what we can do. And this is the next steps. And this is how exactly we should do it, rather than being confused or having meetings with no pointless sense and pretty much breaking through the reality.
Wonderful. So what would you say is the greatest learning moment as you started in your business? Maybe something went wrong that you had to fix, or you realized maybe things were harder than you thought they would be?
Yeah. So obviously learning is an ongoing journey, right? So you're continuously learning. For me, one of the biggest moments that actually shifted from I do some stuff online to actually being able to, wow, we're, you know, involved in companies making millions of dollars online, was being able to actually work with other people and learn from other people. That has absolutely been one of the biggest discoveries I had. And if I would say the biggest learning moment, it was in certain opportunities where I was actually able to jump into a business and learn from others, work with others, where they have been operating on such a level which was just unknown to me. If, for example, you start out with anything specifically online and you're trying to make some money or you're trying to build out your business, you're very much locked into what your own beliefs are, what is your own possibility, and pretty much all the things you know. But as soon as you get exposed to other people and you get exposed to what other people are doing, for me, that was just such a big transformation because I saw people who are doing what I wanted to do for 10 plus years. And that was just like one of the biggest learning moments I had working with other people.
I love that. So you enjoy entrepreneurship very obviously. Why did you decide to go down that path?
I didn't think there was any other path I could take. I just pretty much went through school all my life and I did not know what I wanted to do. I was 15 years old and they told me, okay, you're going to this, you know, certain degree. Okay, you need to choose what do you want to do for your life. And everything just felt so weird and forced. And I just came to the realization, okay, the biggest thing I need to do is not do something I do not want to do. And I learned I don't want to work in a grocery store or I don't want to work in a factory. So what I had to do is I had to take control over my own life. And I think entrepreneurship is the only path to truly take that control over your own life.
That is the truth. And I absolutely agree with that. I had worked in the private sector for a long time working for other people. And I just realized after a while, I don't want to work for other people. I prefer to control my own destiny. I want to make my own rules and I want to be in control of my success or not. So I appreciate that answer. Was your family supportive of this or were they more traditional?
Well, my family didn't really give me that much support or criticism. One of the biggest blessings I had from my parents is that I got a lot of responsibility. They didn't really support me that much, but they also didn't really criticize me that much. Yeah. And I personally went to college. That was my big step. And if I look at my family, nobody from my family really went to university or had an office job. It was all more labor type of work. So I already did something which excelled compared to my family. So they were naturally supportive. And I just took everything in my own hands. So regardless of what family or friends said, I just knew what I had to do and I just took everything in my own hands.
Fantastic. We've got less than 2 minutes to our first break. What do you think is the most expensive mistake you have ever made? It could be financial. It doesn't have to be. It could be something that you hung on to for too long or maybe something that you didn't start soon enough. We've got about a minute.
Right. For me, definitely the most expensive mistake I waste, the currency was definitely not in money. It's definitely been in time. One of the biggest mistakes I made was not being able to adapt earlier, to discover things earlier what I wanted to do, and to move out to different countries, to explore myself. The biggest mistake I will make was not starting sooner. If I was starting sooner with my journey and everything, I will definitely be far further already as I'm now.
Fantastic. I love that. Thank you so much for answering that. And we will come right back after the break. This is Success Profiles Radio. We will be right back on the other side and we will talk about the power play that you can use to quantum leap your brand forward later in the show. Please stay with us.
Mission is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
If you're like me, sometimes you have trouble choosing between being a couch potato or going out. Hey, it's a big decision for us scabberlotchers. A scabberlotcher or a ragabash is another word for a lazy person. Well, a couple from California seems to have solved the problem by inventing a motorized sofa. You may think they're just spinning their wheels, but people have spotted the couple cruising down the street on their drivable Davenport in West Los Angeles and Santa Monica. No word yet on the couple's identity, but a man claiming to be a relative said it's all well within the norm for his fun-loving cousin. I don't know if this Chesterfield on wheels is street legal, but either way, I think the police would have to put up quite a chase before they could coach him. It's marching down. I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we are back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Lawrence Tyson. And we are talking about the power play that can quantum leap your brand forward quickly. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, Lawrence, I would love to ask, what do you think is the highest value skill that anyone can develop?
I think the most powerful skill to have is communication. Because any other great answer, like sales or management or self-direction or leadership, will all be a byproduct of communication. For me, learning slash like developing communication has been a big part to develop myself and my business, right? Because if you're doing, like if you're managing your team, if you need clients, all the things you do include some form of communication. And communication in itself gives you the ability to even negotiate, make deals, say what you want. Pretty much, I think communication in itself is one of the biggest skills there is and one of the most powerful skills, because everything you do is a human interaction. So by mastering communication, you'll absolutely, you know, have the biggest powerful position.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. So why is it important to set really big goals in your life or in your business?
That's super great to talk about, because setting big goals is pretty much something you create in your mind. It's a very internal process. And the reason why setting big goals is powerful is because if you truly visualize it, if you truly set a goal, not meaning, okay, I'll think about it, but actually writing it down and even creating like a game plan, you're just creating a vision which gives you purpose, which gives you direction and gives you clarity. I think setting big goals is super important, because obviously you want to also set small goals, but there should be a big goal. And whether you call it a goal, it can also be a full game plan or an outcome or a mission. Having that purpose will give you that direction. And I think direction is a super powerful vehicle, because it allows you to always stay motivated, dedicated, and get your job done.
Yeah. A lot of people are afraid to think really, really big. Why do you think that is?
I think most people are just consumed into life. They grew up in pretty much an environment they didn't choose. They go to school, they pretty much work their job most of their lives, and eventually you're just in a like a situation, like in an environment where you never really break out of it. And by thinking big, you're already doing something extraordinary. You're already doing something that most ordinary people aren't doing. So I think fear is like a very big drive behind that. And it truly comes from being able to break out of that thought pattern, create your own vision, be different than others, and pretty much challenge the fear within you.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I know that you've connected with a lot of really amazing people. I know that you've connected with people like Eric Thomas, Andrew Tate. How do you connect with people like that?
Yeah, super great question. So this is just all about powerful position, right? You can connect with, like, let's say celebrities or very famous people in various ways. It can be, for example, by being in a position where you're doing somebody else isn't doing. Let's say you're, you know, editing videos for people and you're super good at your skill. You can land your way through a connection by offering that skill. Otherwise, for example, how I spoke with Eric Thomas is because he has a program and I paid to be in his program. So I literally paid for that connection. And he doesn't know who I am. Like, he probably doesn't even remember the conversation I had with him. But that was, for me, very impactful. Meeting with people on a higher level is by being in a valuable position. And it's pretty difficult. Like, it's difficult to be valuable for people who are just on, you know, they have all the abundance. Like, you can't really offer them something. Mm-hmm. So you either have to be very creative, you have to be very unique, or you just have to be very straightforward. And by straightforward, I mean, you just have to literally pay to talk to them. That is something which is, you know, very, like, it's easy to do it, but it makes a lot of sense. If you want to have access to a certain type of people, you just have to either pay them. Even if you want to see like a concert of your favorite artist, you have to pay a ticket to actually watch them. So I don't think that's like anything bad about it. I think using money as the tool to leverage that conversation or that insight is a really good strategy to do. And for me, I've been always very keen into joining networking groups, into taking opportunity to just DM people. So being very proactive helps you with that.
Absolutely. And you know, it's so interesting because a lot of it is pay to play and people don't like hearing that, but it is the truth. In fact, I've had some really awesome, high-level, influential people on my show. And sometimes when people find out that I'm connected to a specific person, they'll say, hook me up. Well, wait a minute. I spent a lot of time and in some cases, some money to get that connection myself. I'm not going to just give that away, right? Do you find that happens to you too?
Yeah, I mean, often you can't really give away a connection either, right? Especially because it's like a form of being a decent person, in my opinion. You have to have respect for each other. Mm-hmm. And let's say I have a very good friend of mine. And this is like a good situation because for me, it's very realistic. I have, for example, certain clients who a lot of people want to have access to. However, I just set very clear standards and boundaries. Like, of course, there might be friends of mine who would like to offer something and they say, hey, I know he's your client. Can you make me an introduction? I will pretty much never do that unless it's valuable for the client, for that person, and for myself. So that's just a very straightforward way. And regarding pay to play, I think the beliefs a lot of people have are just from like a first size judgment. However, the biggest thing about pay to play, and it depends on where you leverage it, but it's a guaranteed path, right? If you look at like a very long time ago where you wanted to pitch yourself on natural TV, you had to literally pitch yourself. You had to put in the effort, you had to reach out to all the publishers, and that takes a lot of while, and it's all just unclarity. Like, it doesn't guarantee anything. While if you would pay, for example, for a specific segment, it will give you the instant like approval guarantee that you have it. So I just think it's leverage. And the reason you want to have that guarantee is because of speed, right? You want to upgrade everything with speed and be fast and take action and just continue elevating.
Yeah, this is really great stuff. So reviewing some of the people that you've had a chance to connect with, what are some of the greatest lessons you've taken away from them in your encounters with them?
Right. So obviously a lot of different lessons. Whenever I have the chance to speak with people, for example, when I spoke to Eric Thomas or when I had the conversation with Andrew Tate, what I did is at that time, I made sure the actual footage was recorded. And usually it was on some sort of call where it actually was already recorded. But I watched it back many times. I wrote it down. I took all the lessons. I took notes. And I wanted to make sure, for example, if I have the ability to speak with this person, which I did, I want to make sure that the time they've given me is actually helpful. I want to make sure that I can actually squeeze out the most. So at any time I wrote it down, I took notes, and I really wanted to imprint their advice in my brain. Some of the biggest things I actually learned is two sides. One of the sides is that all those people are just people on their own, obviously. However, they're just doing the same thing as a lot of other people do. But what is the biggest difference in a lot of cases is the leverage, right? A lot of these people you look up to, the biggest leverage they have is that there's just a huge following behind it, or there's a huge team behind it, or both, right? They have so much leverage that you just forget about the reality that they're just that other person who has the same time as you has. The other side is that I've been able to connect with various people and ask them specific questions. What I learned from them, from each person, is definitely different. For Eric Thomas, one of the biggest things I learned, which was super great because that conversation was almost 2 years ago. Mm. What I learned specifically from that was the ability to pretty much control my thinking, if that makes sense. See, if you look, for example, at Eric Thomas online, you see, okay, he's like a motivational speaker, but that is not what he does at all. What he does together with his team and company is they have some sort of DISC assessment. They call it the flight assessment, which is a personality test. Mm-hmm. And doing that has been one of the most valuable things I did early on in my journey. So when I was in the conversation with Eric Thomas, it was based on that. It was based on that DISC assessment, which he provided, because it pretty much was a product I bought for him. So yeah, stuff like that. I've been able to get like specific questions. If I look at other people, I've had so many great questions I could ask and I get specific answers to. I have questions with feedback for business related contacts, for more mindset-related content, and a lot of different things. all by all, I just took everything in and just keep pouring it into my mind, let's say.
Fantastic. We've got less than 3 minutes to our next break. Tell us a little bit about how you got linked up with Influencer Press and what you do for them.
Right. Influencer Press is such an amazing part in my journey. I actually was linked up very spontaneously through a mutual connection. And eventually, I joined there almost 6 months ago already. And I'm currently the head of fulfillment. What I'm doing there is I'm being in charge of the client management as well as the client managers. And the journey has been super crazy. Being part of the company has been such a big transformation for me. And I'm super excited to talk more about it as well. But the Influencer Press is a big part of my journey.
Absolutely. And you all have sent me a lot of guests in the last 6 months, and I am super grateful for that. What do you think makes Influencer Press different from other PR agencies in the marketplace?
Great question. I think Influencer Press excels at being able to utilize the press we give you, because we're not like a PR company where we give you press. We're giving you an ecosystem. We're giving you a powerful position. And we are super good at mastering that with our own concept called pre-influence. So that's like an amazing thing we're doing. We are literally installing pre-influence to prospects for our clients, which is something nobody does.
Exactly. And that's not a term that I've heard very much either. We will talk about what pre-influence is a little bit more after the break. But how do you think your previous experiences have prepared you for this specific role? We've got about a minute to the break.
I think every part of the experience I had built up each other. I had to learn to have skills myself. I had to know how I can message people myself, how I can get clients myself, how can I return having those clients, all the way up to, okay, how can I, for example, when I worked in SaaS industry, how can I efficiently set up a customer support team? How can I manage teams? How can I manage communities? So all those skills have been built up together, and that's how I've been eventually transitioned that into my role with Influencer Press.
Fantastic. We're coming up against our next break. We're talking with Lawrence Tyson, and we're talking about his role at Influencer Press. We're talking about connecting with influential people. And when we come back, the first thing I will ask him is, what are some of the biggest mistakes people make when trying to build their brands? And we will explore the idea of pre-influence a lot more and how we can build that in our branding. And then we'll talk about the power play that can quantum leap your authority forward. We'll come right back.
Mission is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com. If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With PhoneSites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With PhoneSites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy, and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at phonesites.com/Brian. Once again, that's phonesites.com/Brian.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we are back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Lawrence Tyson. And we are talking about quantum leaping your authority forward, so that you can exponentially increase the visibility for your brand. What I want to ask you first, and before I do, let me just say that the latest issue of Ultimate Achievers Magazine came out recently. If you'd like to subscribe and read every single issue we've ever done, you can go to ultimateachieversmagazine.com and the subscription information is there, and you can read about what the magazine is about, and the current issue is about using AI in your business. It's absolutely fantastic and amazing. So, Lawrence, let me ask you, what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes people when trying to build their brands?
One of the biggest mistakes people make, not only with a brand, but in business in general, is not realizing that business is not one department. And this is tied back in building a brand as well. There's a lot of people who say, oh yeah, you know, building a personal brand is so valuable. If you, for example, look at all these celebrities, they can launch any kind of product and everybody buys that, of course, and we all know that. But actually building a personal brand is not necessarily just creating a social media profile on LinkedIn or Twitter and just having a personal picture. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes people make. A lot of people tend to think that if you have some sort of presence online, you have a social media profile essentially with your name and your picture, that you have a personal brand. Yeah, I would argue that actually your personal brand is always present, regardless if you are a marketer, regardless if you actually are an entrepreneur, in some way you're always representing yourself. Now, what I think truly defines a personal brand is being able to leverage your name as the same as a company will function. Meaning you could register it online basically as, you know, having a brand actually established in the online field, meaning you have social media accounts and you have a website and you have search results and you have press and so on. But it comes down to making sure that your personal brand is a name that holds power. It's a name that actually can bring in clients, that can sell a product, that can ring a bell when people think about it. So it's not just actually having a social media account, it's having an actual brand. It's actually having a business which is tied to your personality.
Absolutely. Before the break, you teased the concept of pre-influence, and I said that I would ask us to explore that. So that's a term that you don't hear very much. What is pre-influence?
Right. The way I define it is that pre-influence is the ability to influence purchasing decisions. See, whenever somebody looks you up for the first time or they speak to you for the first time, there's always this first judgment, right? People always tend to naturally pretty much judge you on any way. So what you want to do is you want to influence people before they ever speak to you or before they really interact with you. And you can do that by organizing the truth, by organizing the way you are perceived, and by strategically positioning yourself in a specific way. So pre-influence is the ability to influence people before they interact with you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So how can we build pre-influence in our branding? I know it's a blend of science, marketing, sales, and PR. It's an ecosystem involving all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. So I will say there's actually three levels of influence in itself, but you want to have an ecosystem of everything. So pre-influence in itself is the term which is a byproduct of having that ecosystem of action, meaning that you have a marketing department, you have a sales department, you have a fulfillment department. And with that, attached to your personal brand, which is the front load of pretty much the first interaction anybody has with you or your company, you want to make sure that whenever somebody looks you up or whenever somebody wants to speak with you, that they have this pre-influence installed. Now, how you can do that is I personally have created some sort of three levels, which is like easy, requires some effort, and difficult to achieve. If you look at what is easy ways to pre-influence people, it could be a very simple thing as to, for example, taking photo shoots. If you have a high quality pictures on your social media, you can, you know, perceive people in such a way that whenever somebody looks you up, they'll be confronted with that professionality, with that quality. And the same can be applied to your website. Now, other things which are super simple is, for example, if you use social media to also share some case studies, to share some testimonials. You want to share various kinds of information on a low level of influence that will influence people essentially. Now, if you look at what like mid-influence type stuff will be, which is pretty easily to achieve, let's say, but it does definitely require effort. It could be things as, for example, having a super premium website. Just having a very quality website is such a game changer when it comes to your, you know, visibility online. Take a look at any of the big names. Tony Robbins, whatever, they all have excellent websites because it's a representation of their personal brand. Now, other things which are easier than being difficult and they do require some effort is, for example, also being a writer at online blogs, right? If you look at a platform called Medium, and there's various platforms like this. Medium is like an online blogging platform. But imagine if you're a person who has, you know, a Facebook profile and a LinkedIn profile versus the person who has a Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Medium blog profile, a website, a YouTube channel that just creates this omni-channel present, which just influences people more when they see you because you can be perceived through all different kinds of mediums. Now, there's a lot of different examples I can give, but when it comes to the hard kind of achievable influence, it is mostly tailored around press. If you, for example, are listed on any big publications or on various articles, if you do podcasts, if you're on TV, all that stuff just influences people. Imagine if you're trying to, you know, look for someone who can help you with copywriting. And you have one profile from somebody who has a great profile, he has super great content, or you have somebody else, and that person might have the same, but the person also has press articles. The person also is on TV. You're naturally more inclined to go to the other person because their perceived value is so much more. And they've been able to position themselves in such a powerful way that you're attracted to them. And that's the pre-influence, is being able to, you know, influence the prospects you have.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the power play. And there are several steps to this. And you've alluded to some of the things that go into the power play already. But the first of those is initial authority building. And so I want to ask, you have to craft your million-dollar story as a starting point, right? How do you do that?
Right, that's an excellent question. When it comes to marketing and sales, one of the biggest thing is having the foundation. You want to have some sort of positioning, and we call it the million-dollar story and positioning. And especially in personal brands, but also for companies, you want to be able to have some sort of story. And that story is built out on your truth. Like, it's not something you make up. It's not some lies. It's actually who you are. Like, a lot of different people have difficulties actually organizing who they are. So the million-dollar positioning, as we call it, is a way where you are positioned through storytelling, through knowing the market, knowing your prospects, and just really theoretically having all the foundation and theory. Now, the way to do that comes down to a lot of different things. We, for example, do this for our clients where we actually interview them with a lot of different questions. It usually takes about 1 hour for a call. And we use that with a specific kind of document to organize that positioning. Now, we just want to make sure that when we're talking about million-dollar story and positioning, that it's documented and organized. Because we want to have some sort of consistency that we can use in all the medium and all the content we produce.
For sure. How hard is it to get on billboards?
This is a great question. Billboards in itself is something so amazing. However, it's not like a very big, massive deal, right? If, for example, I put myself on a billboard, it can be cool. I can take a picture with it. I can put it on social media. The experience of being there and seeing that will be absolutely amazing. However, in itself, it will not like generate any clients. If I get you on a billboard, it in itself will not give you like direct prospects. But as a marketing tool, it's amazing. So the question on how difficult it is, it's actually fairly easy. It's just that you have to have the right connections. You have to have the entrance in specific places. And you just have to know what is required to get that life, which is usually a sort of payment.
For sure. So having a strong digital presence and engagement amplification is another part of the power play. We already talked about the importance of having a world-class website, which you do, by the way. It's one of the best websites I've seen in a very long time. But repositioning social media sites for optimal engagement, what does that look like?
That's an excellent question. And this comes back to that positioning, right? We go from step one to step two. Step two comes down to actually leveraging that positioning in your socials and in your website. If you look, for example, at the website I have, you see the photographs I have, you see the different storytelling, and you just want to make sure that you reposition yourself in such a way where it's optimal for engagement. Meaning, you want to have people to take action. It's different on what kind of platform. If you have a website, you want people to know who you are. You want to share a story. If you are on a social media profile, you want them to be able to book a call or to send a message. So you want to reposition yourself for optimal engagement, meaning you want to make sure that you structure slash position yourself in such a way where it creates the biggest likelihood of people taking action. If you, for example, look at the about page I have on my website, it's a storytelling page. It goes step by step, pictures, text. You know, it makes sense because it's an about page and it's structured in that specific way.
Yeah, for sure. And then the other thing I want to address is leveraging podcast appearances. Now, a lot of people go on shows like this and they may or may not get clients or engagement, but it's not just about the show you're on. It's about how you use that appearance when it's over with, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's what a lot of people know. They know, okay, if I go on podcast, I can repurpose the content, which is super great. Mm-hmm. That's definitely extremely powerful, but it comes with so many side effects, right? If you are on a podcast, it gives you a voice to share. It gives you the ability to, you know, people can consume content through all different mediums at all times, but podcast is so evergreen. You can listen to it while you're in the car. You can listen to it in the gym. So that's why I personally love podcasts, and it's super great to leverage a brand because there's always a most likely a different audience for each podcast you can, you know, join and be on.
Yeah, for sure. And then the final, the next part of this, and we've got maybe about a minute or so, creating ultimate authority and influence means that you can get into prestigious publications like Forbes, Entrepreneur, getting on television, getting verified on social media. How critical is that?
It is not a matter about how critical it is. It is about the matter of how powerful is it, right? Mm. Because you can have a business without being on Forbes. Obviously, you don't need Forbes on its own. But if you do have Forbes, if you do have Entrepreneur, if you are verified on social media, if you are on TV, you're just on the ultimate authority and influence position. So having press through all mediums is just extremely powerful. So the question you have to ask yourself is, do I want to just keep everything as I have, or do I want to enhance, maximize my performance, my visibility, and just have the dominating position of authority and influence?
Fantastic. We're coming up against our final break. I cannot believe how quickly this is going. I'm with my very special guest, Lawrence Tyson, and we're talking about building your brand. And we talked about the power play that you can use to get there. We have a lot more to talk about when we return. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
The mission is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With phone sites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With phone sites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at phonesites.com/Brian. Once again, that's phonesites.com/Brian.
I've heard that a great big giant pumpkin has brought a ton of excitement to the Wisconsin Cedarburg Wine and Harvest Festival. This humongous pumpkin weighed in at over 2,000 pounds. That's over a ton. This Ostrobogulus pumpkin is now the largest on record in North America. Ostrobogulus is a word for the bizarre and interesting. Gene McMullen grew the colossal fruit in Streeter, Illinois. Some of the big fall festivals will pay the winner of the biggest pumpkin contest up to $25,000. That's a lot of money for a fruit that's 90% water. Believe it or not, there's a word for the fear of turning into a pumpkin. It's called apocolosimposis. I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my new app, Too Funny for Words.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. And if you have not downloaded and subscribed to Success Profiles Radio on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please do that. Please leave a review. You can also hear the show on Spotify. You can hear it on Amazon. You can hear it on Audible. You can ask Alexa or Siri to play Success Profiles Radio, and you will hear the most recent episode. So you can hear it practically anywhere. So, Lorenz, let me ask you about your next level community, because all the things we're talking about, this is a community where people can learn more about all of that, right?
Yeah. So the next level community is something I started pretty a while ago. And it mostly was from the purpose of bringing my connections together. So the Next Level community is something which I've been pretty passionate about just to have, because it's a combination of a lot of my friends and network aligned, and it's the ability to just, you know, connect. So networking is one of the most powerful things there is. And I created my own networking group a long time ago. So I use that group to connect with my friends, and it's not my main priority now if you look at my social media efforts. However, it's a very amazing group of individuals.
Fantastic. Where can we find that?
So the best way to find it is to actually check out my website, because it's not really publicly. It's more exclusive. So whenever somebody enters that, they will be able to just, you know, actually gain their entrance through the website or through the social media page. And that is pretty much the only way to get access or insight to see anything which happens outside of it.
Fantastic. So let's talk about one or two of your favorite client case studies. Someone who you've worked with, helped them build their brand, increase their exposure. How have you helped people?
Right. That's great. And one of the stories I'd like to tell right away is one of my good friend, partner, and mentor, Tarek. So I met Tarek a super long time ago on Twitter. We were both creating content, and he's an expert in sales. I wanted to actually invite or pretty much use his value. I know he was offering some sort of coaching, and at the time I was starting out building out websites. So I had a great deal in mind, and I was about to approach him to say, hey, I'd love to work on a website for you if you can help me with sales coaching. And this ties back to why I answered that communication is one of the most powerful skills, because it gives you certain situations or opportunities like this. Now with Tarek, he's still a good client of mine, a friend of mine, a partner of mine. And we've been still working on enhancing its visibility. So that is absolutely one of my most favorite case studies.
Fantastic. And do you have another?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I have numbers. Of course, there's many I can plug and talk about. A super great one, which is one of the like a more recent one as well, is a company I have in the Netherlands, which they're selling a physical product. And we're actually helping them digitalize their whole presence online with the website, e-commerce, giving them support for social media, email marketing, and so on. So what is super great about this specific client we have is that we've been able to take their product into an actual business that sells online. And this is what I love about e-commerce, is that when you help people with their website for e-commerce, you're actually directly influencing their whole business structure. So there's numerous of clients I will be able to share. But those are definitely two great stories.
Fantastic. So you hosted a live event not too long ago. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. So for the community I have, the Next Level, I went to Amsterdam to host an event and pretty much very spontaneously said, hey, I'm going to be in the Netherlands in a few weeks. Let's meet. We had about 10 people there. It was the first time I actually did an event in person. It was super great. We had a super great day. We learned, we had some presentations, and all in all, it was a massive success.
Fantastic. Is it difficult to put on a live event?
I wouldn't really say so. I mean, it's a very nuanced question. Being able to actually host an event is the ability to just have that leverage, right? If you know enough people who can actually come, and you have the ability to communicate that, that's why communication is one of the most powerful skills. If you can bring those people together and organize the logistics, for me, it's not really a difficult thing on its own, but I will say it probably depends as well for the person and what your skills are.
Fantastic. Why is this such a great strategy to build your brand?
Excellent question. being able to take things in person is far more impactful than anything you can do online. I am a big advocate for online business, online marketing, personal branding online, and all those stuff. But if you use that and take it to the next level by doing something in person, it's just far more impactful. The connections you make with people, the relationships you have with those people, it just really takes it to another level. On top of that, if you're doing any kind of marketing, content creation, being able to share footage of in-person events is so great. And this is why I said before that one of the very easiest things you can do to build influence is having professional photographs. And it's the same by doing in-person events. If you do some sort of event and you take footage, you record it, you take pictures, you share it on your social media, you use it for marketing, it just really connects far better, even if it's only online focused.
Yeah. What would you say is the biggest challenge you can face while putting an event together? Is it the technology? Is it things relating to the venue?
For me, I haven't had direct experience in hosting very major events, so I will like to stay very humble in that. But I definitely think a challenge is either the logistics or the actual entertainment, meaning you want to have the ability to organize something, including meeting points, including, you know, for us, it was we even had restaurant reservations and stuff like that. However, the logistics is super essential because as soon as you do an event and the logistics are not neat and people just have to find out what to do or they don't know where to go, it just ruins their day. On top of that, the entertainment is also a very important aspect. If you host some sort of event and it's something like a webinar or a training in person, it's not that easy to entertain people for, let's say, 4 hours or even 8 hours. You need to make sure that they're actually energized. You need to give them the breaks. You need to switch the kind of presentations. So it's a combination of various things.
Absolutely. So the most impactful events are those that create an actual experience, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us, what are some of the top core values that you run your business by?
Right. I love to talk about that. One of the biggest things for sure is expectation management from my end. Mm. Expectations management is so big. And this is also just about communication. However, being able to properly manage expectations before you take on a client, while you have the client, and even after that, is super impactful. That has been one of the biggest things I learned when it comes to fulfillment and customer support. On top of that, super great values I adhere to is, for example, flexibility. I personally believe that the ability to be flexible, to not only flexible in terms of, for example, what you provide to clients, but being flexible in your approach, being flexible in your systems. You want to be super adaptable. Now, I also am a very big fan of data-driven decisions. So there's a few things, and for me, expectations management, flexibility, and data decisions are one of the three key pillars I have.
Yeah, for sure. What has surprised you the most about this whole entrepreneurial journey?
That's an amazing question. For me, the surprise is how much everything is tied to your personal life. Mm. I found so true that if you want to build out your business or you want to pretty much upgrade or enhance anything, it is a direct correlation from your business to your personal self. So the biggest surprise to me has been stuff like, okay, if I actually do put in the time to work on this specific skill, or I block out 1 hour a day to work on a specific thing I want to master, you just notice that it super much enhances and upgrades everything you do.
Yeah, for sure. So being as busy as you are, there are a lot of demands on your time, and you did reference time just a little bit ago. How do you know what to say yes or no to?
Right. That is by being able to identify what brings you the biggest value. And sometimes it's not easy to do that. However, it also comes back to having firm standards and expectation management. If you, for example, have the leverage yourself that you have an assistant or you have some sort of team you can refer different type of things to, it just makes a lot of things more easier. But regardless of the leverage you have, the biggest thing is having the expectations management for yourself and others and having those standards. For example, you can say, okay, I do not engage in anything that has anything to do, for example, with one specific part of my business. Meaning, okay, I'm focused on, let's say, fulfillment. If somebody approaches me about marketing, I'm not interested at all. You just have to have some sort of expectations management and standards for yourself to be able to block out what is a yes and what is a no.
For sure. Tell us what you think the most influential book you've ever read is, or who your most influential mentor is.
Oh, that's so great to talk about. I have read various books, but the book that stood out the most for me has been The 50th Law, which is a book from Robert Greene and Curtis Jackson, also known as 50 Cent the Rapper. Mm-hmm. That book has been one of the first books I ever read, and I've read it about 3 to 4 times already. It's been such a massive game changer because it was at a time where I had not really that much clarity about what I want to do, who I wanted to become, who I want to be, what I had to do, what my direction was. And this book covered so many of my purposes and beliefs in a theoretical way where it just confirmed so many things I was hesitating about. For example, having a reality check mindset, all those different things. So that was definitely been the most valuable book I've read and my favorite one. In terms of people, there's a tremendous amount of people. I spoke about Eric Thomas before, which is definitely one of the people I have to put on my list because through him, I've been able to really have that self-awareness, discover myself, and that has definitely been a big mentor of mine. On top of that, there's so many people I've been able to have work with, to speak with. So I'm always looking to adapt information from as much people as possible and bring that into my own conclusions.
All right. As we wind down, who inspires and motivates you?
Myself. I would say myself, because there's a lot of different people who can motivate me, who can contribute to my purpose and who I can learn from. But the biggest part is always thinking about myself in a journey. I have been in this situation. Now I am here. This is where I want to go. And for me, always comparing myself to who I was, comparing myself to where I want to go, is one of the biggest drives I personally have.
Fantastic. And as we wind down, how can we find you? How can we tribe with you and vibe with you?
Yes. So people can always check out my website. That's the best way to follow out. I would say always reach out to me on social media profiles. I'm active on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Instagram, YouTube. So check out my website and check out my social media profiles.
Great. And your website is?
LawrenceTyson.com.
Okay. So that's LAURENS. And your last name is TIJSSEN.
Correct.
Very European. Awesome. Lawrence, thank you so much for being here. You were amazing.
Thank you, Brian. Have a great day.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This has been Success Profiles Radio. Join us every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, where I interview another world-class achiever, learn what they did, what they overcame, and the lessons we can learn along the way. Until next week, take care, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you for being a part of Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. We'll have guests that will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, BrianKWright.com. If you've ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living, then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join us again next week for more Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright.